Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is round 14, all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. And it's just you and me, Josh, so what's your highlight of the week?
Well, I know I go to motorsport a fair bit, and this is no different. In the early stages of this year's Formula One, Max Verstappen was famous for having a few crashes here and there, and the press got into him. So, you know, do you have to change your driving style? Do you have to think about what you're doing?
Is not crashing better than crashing?
Yeah, that kind of thing. But he managed to have a really good race in France over the weekend. But the funny thing was, in the first corner, Sebastian Vettel got it wrong and ran into the back of Valtteri Bottas. And at the end of the race, Verstappen ended up on the podium, finishing second. And they said, you know, how'd you find the race? He's like, well, I'm expecting you guys to bail up Sebastian Vettel and ask him, does he need to change his driving style and why not? And then he's going to ignore you and just do what he does, because I think that would be fair. So we had a bit of a crack at the media.
Yeah, well, why not?
Ah, oh, fair play. He's only 19. He can't drink on half the courses they drive on.
Bloody hell. But driving those cars at 19.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong. Every 19-year-old male thinks they can.
Well, I know, you know, reaction times have got to be better at that age as opposed to, say, 39. And I don't imagine there's many Formula One drivers going around, you know, pushing their 40s.
No good ones.
No good ones, exactly. I got a rather tame highlight of the week. I'm always on the lookout for more podcasts because I spend a lot of time on public transport and fuck talking to people. And I've noticed in the last 6 months, I'll say, there's a lot of official podcasts coming out. And a lot of the teams are sort of jumping on board now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Which reminds me, you know, we've been around 4 years now. So when it comes to footy podcasts, I think we're one of the first ones. And certainly one of the only ones still going. So, you know, get on iTunes and give us 5 stars. That'd be nice. But anyway, there's an official Hawthorne one now, hosted by Jack Fitzpatrick. And he has James Frawley is his co-host. They've done 2 episodes so far. But Jack Fitzpatrick, James Frawley, and they've decided to call it Fitz and Chips. Brilliant. That's all. The actual quality is, you know, here nor there, but just the fact that they've got Fitz and Chips, well done.
Yeah, no, that's a hot. And honestly, that's more entertainment out of the podcast than I expected to get from Frawley.
He's actually pretty funny, but Jack Fitzpatrick is definitely the one that rams at home. He's quite a good laugh, the lad. I'll be honest.
Oh, fair play.
For a bloke that played about 6 games for us, I think.
You make money where you can.
Well, he had to retire for head knocks and whatnot. So it looks like he's enjoying life behind the scenes. Still got a gig down at Hawthorne, so good on him.
Well, he's making money out of podcasts, which is more than podcasts generally do.
Certainly more than we've done. We're well in the red, if we want to go all the way back through it. Anyway, so we've only got six games this week. We've got some other stuff to talk through at the end of it. But we'll go through the games first. Starting on Thursday night, the Eagles and Essendon. I didn't catch all of this game because what was I bloody doing?
Literally anything else?
No, I had something else on. I thought, I'll really look forward to the Thursday night footy. So I got caught up probably, I was reading bedtime stories of the kids or something. And then I checked in at quarter time and saw the score and went, what?
Yeah, I was the same. I tuned in late and I'm like, hang on, what? And it was like 30-odd nil.
Six goals to nothing in the first quarter.
Yeah. And it's like, what? Because this is one it fucked up my tips. Because being the first game, you put the margin too.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think I had West Coast by 50, and I ended up being negative 100 on my margin.
Well, you beat me. Tip. I was negative 97 on my margin. So whatever that ends up being. But yeah, that hurt me. I dropped quite a number of places. I was first this round. I'm now fifth.
No, I'm now second by margin, and my margin's big.
Mine too. I did not see it coming. The other thing about footy I've noticed in the last month, let's say, and I'm going to blame it on the World Cup, the vernacular's changed. So now a team like Essendon gets six goals in front and then becomes very defensive. They've parked the bus. That's the phrase that I heard at least five times over the weekend. That, you know, once you go defensive, you're parking the bus. And I believe it's because of the World Cup, because that used to be the Germany thing, is get 1-0 up, and then we go all defensive. We park the bus in front of the goals.
I know, so, Germans are pretty efficient. I feel like they would have parked the bus beforehand. They wouldn't have taken that off the list.
That's where the phrase has come from in my mind. That's where I've heard it. And then maybe it is one of those things, you know, confirmation bias. Once you hear it once, it just sticks out every time it gets mentioned.
Okay.
But I heard it about five times on the weekend, and I'm blaming the World Cup. Anyway, I heard somebody say, you know, Don's first quarter, six goals up, then they park the bus.
Yeah, fair enough. 6-16 to the Eagles. That's fucked.
It was one of the worst goal-kicking weekends of all time. 6-16 without
Kennedy.
Josh and Jack. Kennedy and Darling. And I don't think either will be back next week either. So that's a bit of a challenge for them. But yeah, fair to say, not many people pick this one happening.
Well, in hindsight, you could say, oh, you know, they're going to struggle to kick goals. But I still thought Lacroix would have pounded a bunch through. And then McGovern moving forward is always an option. They didn't move him forward until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, because they needed to win the game. But you say struggle to kick goals, but they got plenty of shots on goal.
Yeah, that's
true. They had more shots on goal than Essendon did. And still lost by five goals.
But not to sell Essendon short, they looked great. They were willing to take the game on through the corridor a lot of the time.
Oh, brilliant running. In the first, month or so of the season when Essendon were playing poorly, it's because they go sideways. And to be honest, guys like Adam Saab were trying to take the game on and getting caught. Mm. Now they go sideways, forward, and you're like, well, shit, that's moving fast.
But it reminds me of rugby league in that you go a bit sideways, and all of a sudden someone breaks the line and they go bolt. And that's Saad does that.
Goddamn Saad and McKenna as well.
Yeah.
They've got absolute bolters. I noticed on the coaches voting, the top two lines were Devin Smith and Adam Saad. So there's their two
speedsters.
Big recruits this year as well. And I just checked. I think that Stringer was leading goal kicker for the game. Yeah, three goals too.
Tell you what, you'd have Saad on your side, wouldn't you? You'd make room for him.
Of course. There's nobody that doesn't like a tough, hard-running halfback.
I still remember that time he out-gut-ran Boomer, and Boomer's calling people onto him.
Did something exceptionally similar to Paul Pioppolo too. Hmm. And I won't pretend that Poppy's got the same engine that Boomer Harvey has, but he still is a little speedster, and you know, for Saad to do it running away, bouncing the footy, and kept going, you know.
But the worst thing is he runs away, but not quite fast enough for you to give up.
Yeah.
So you're like, I'm stuck in this chase, because if I don't fucking do it.
There's a lot of times you go, somebody shepherd me, shepherd me.
Hammy. No, I'm okay.
I think more than most, I was very bullish on Essendon this year, and efforts like that can really show what they're capable of. Not missing Danaher all that much. Matter of fact, when he comes back, you're like,
Well, McKernan was decent. And Stringer, obviously, kicking 3-2.
And Stewart's a good target.
Yeah.
Even if he's not kicking big bags.
And to be honest, I never was really fully sold on Danaher. Obviously, I'd still bring him in, but you've got to be saying to him, mate, you're not leading the forward line now.
Yeah.
You play your role, and your role's going to be a bit more on the ground.
A lot of the commentary out of the game, too, was blaming the Eagles for being soft. It just looked like this is a flat week for them. For whatever reason, it happens from time to time.
Well, you know?
Richmond last year won the premiership and got flogged by St Kilda that didn't even make finals. It happens sometimes. I think this would be just swept under the rug. But when they're having a go at them being soft, it doesn't mean that you're saying that player is soft every day of the week. It's just saying you had a soft game. I think that's all it is. And Nick Nat copped the brunt of it, but you just go, you know what? You had a bad game.
Yeah, I thought he was matched, to be honest, in the ruck.
Bell Chambers has been great.
He did really well.
I've loved his season, to be honest. It's that workhorseman-like. It's not a highlight reel, but goddamn, he's come up against a lot of big ruckmen, and he's evened the contest.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all you ask when you're up against, you know, somebody, an athletic beast like Nick Nat.
Yeah.
Also, just while I'm on Nick Nat, I think when he came back at the start of the year, there was a lot of emotion. It's like, oh, he's finally back. And that you can feel that lift the side every time he's doing something. I think that honeymoon period is worn off now, and it's you're just one of our players again. So it requires something else to get them up and going. And they'll probably get that once, you know, Jack and Josh are back, but it's that almost the adrenaline dump over a number of months is now there.
But I think, too, he came back and hit the ground running, that's fair to say, but he still hasn't had a full preseason.
No.
Still affected through it.
He's still not playing full games, you know?
Yeah, so it is great to have him back. And by finals time, maybe he'll be right. Maybe he'll be carrying injuries that all ruckmen do. I don't know. But it's always worth watching when he's playing. He does amazing shit.
Yeah.
Heppel with 11 marks. That, to me, sticks out, too.
Well, it means making space.
Yeah, really. Which all you want from him.
And I reckon that's how you can get on top of West Coast as well, is try and make them accountable.
Yeah.
But because they're used to dominating in the ruck, and when you're not dominating the ruck, there's, you know, Plan B's got to come into effect, and nobody likes Plan B when you've got such a good Plan A.
But also, they were running in packs through the guts and around the wings as well, wide enough that one player couldn't take two people on.
Yeah, yeah.
Sticks in my craw so much when you see players running shoulder to shoulder. Like, get the fuck away from him. Either shepherd or move away and be an option.
Mine with that is when you handball and then stand still. Hmm. Either you're shepherding or you're making the next option.
Drag the bloke and give him a week.
Yeah. All right. I don't think it's panic stations for West Coast by any stretch of the imagination. Just kick a bit straighter and be a bit more awake.
Yeah, but Essendon have earned optimism too. They can legitimately be... not expecting finals, but that's their aim.
I'll tell you what, there's going to be a battle for the eighth position, and they're in the conversation without a doubt. And they weren't a month ago.
No.
They were looking bottom four a month ago. I mean, they lost to fucking Carlton, and now they beat West Coast in West Coast. Anyway, Friday night. Port Adelaide hosting Melbourne. So the bad news is I am one for one on late changing in tips. Because... about 10 minutes before the bounce, and even in last week's podcast, I'd tip Port and then I was talking myself into Melbourne. Well, I talked myself into it and I changed it over. that's another reason why I'm now fifth.
Well, I tipped Port and then didn't change my tip. So
lucky you.
Yeah.
I thought the last play of the game really showed the difference because Port Adelaide were trying to ice the clock, being, you know, two goals up with a minute left. And all they did was kick to a contest along the boundary line, and Ollie Wines took a mark, then Charlie Dixon took a mark, and then Paddy Ryder took a mark, and then Ollie Wines took another one.
Yeah.
So that was just four old-fashioned 1970s down the line, and somebody took a mark. Melbourne couldn't do that all night.
I think if you were to do a Moneyball-style thing, like when they recruited players in Oakland, wasn't it, solely based on how often they get on base.
Yep.
If you were to do that in the AFL... it'd be how many contested marks they're taking per game.
I think that's almost like home runs. You know, the contested marks are like gold these days.
Absolutely. Especially if you're not a 7 foot tall bloke.
Yeah. I know that's what it's killed up Hawthorn several times. It's just, we just can't take a contested mark and we can't stop them. But this one, I mean, Melbourne are a good contested mark side, usually. Just on this night, they couldn't.
It was fun to watch Paddy Ryder and Maxi Gawn go at it too. Very different ruckman with a lot of influence when they're on.
There was one stage of the game where they pulled up the comparison records, and you don't realise that how young Max Gawn is.
I know.
Inexperienced. I think he's at 80 games, and Paddy Ryder's at about 220. And I reckon when it came to especially boundary throw-ins, it looked every much, you know, the veteran versus the up-and-comer.
Yeah.
I thought he dominated in some of those and pushed Paddy, Paddy pushed Maxi Gawn around far too easy, I thought.
Well, I think Paddy's probably got about 15 kilos on Gawn because Gawn's built around mobility. He's a gas tank.
Yeah, but he's still a strong lad. You would have thought. But I know he's dropped a few kilos, and I didn't think that Paddy Ryder would be able to manhandle him as well as he did. Not that he dominated the hitouts or the clearances even. Quite the opposite.
Mm.
But it surprised me how easily he moved Maxi Gawn out of position sometimes.
Well, he's a strong bloke, but I could think of five ruckmen straight away that I think are stronger.
Than
Gawn.
Gawn.
Like Ryder for one, obviously.
Well, now, but yeah. I wouldn't have thought that before the game.
Oh, I'd also throw Stephen Martin in there, well, Sam Jacobs.
Yes.
Nick Nat.
See, someone like Sam Jacobs, I would have thought, Maxi Gawn, you give him a good contest now. But after what I saw on the weekend, you go, oh, maybe it's just an off night.
Well, he's built around athleticism, not really shoulder-to-shoulder stuff. But, you know, muscle doesn't necessarily make a good ruckman. That's why Mad Jack Doar plays back.
Yeah. I just thought it was one where I thought Maxi was going to stake his claims here, and he didn't. In my mind, anyway.
Well, he didn't have his flags completely lowered. Let's, you know.
No.
He still got in there, but yeah, he didn't have that dominant around the ground game that we kind of thought he might.
I'm just checking now. The hitouts were 50 to 40, basically.
Yeah.
Which, you know, 53 hitouts is a good night, but the AFL app doesn't tell me hitouts to advantage.
Yeah. I wonder too, though, with the midfield that Port have, whether that affected his ability to control the hit-out. Because you've got to be spot on against the likes of, you know, Ebert and both Greys and, you know, even bloody Dixon and Wines running around the place.
Well, that's the thing with this game, and everybody's pointed it out. Inside 50s, Melbourne smashed them. Clearances, Melbourne smashed them. The reason they didn't win was because they were bombing it in long. Hogan wasn't playing up forward for half of it,
yeah.
And McDonald wasn't taking big marks either. That really is, I think, some of that's on the coaching.
You've got to say,
guys, you've got to lower our eyes a bit. And Jesse, why don't you try out of the goal square rather than running up half back? And the other part is sometimes you just can't help dumb players. You've got to, you know what, let's try a running goal from 40 rather than let's just bombing it long. Hit up a few more passes, maybe. But it's easy to say that after the fact, of course.
Yeah. I do find it frustrating, too. And this is just, you know, Nuffy on the concrete watching the footy. But when you've got a full forward who's up at centre-half forward, it seems like they just bomb it to about 45 metres out.
Yeah.
Rather than take those extra 10 steps, if they can, and bomb it goal side of the player. Because if Hogan's goal side of his defender and the ball's bouncing in front of him, it's a goal.
Yeah, nine times out of ten. You back your man in a one-on-one.
But instead, they're popping it right up.
And it was too easy for Port as well. You know, Westhoff just loved it. You know, you just float back a kick and a half behind play and they bomb it in. And if he wasn't taking an uncontested mark, he was making sure the ball was getting spoilt.
He's having a bloody good season for a homeless bloke.
Yeah. Speaking of the other week, you know, Benny Brown came out and said he's got the vegan diet. You know, Westhoff runs a vegan bloody food truck or something.
What?
Yeah,
called a dumpster.
No, it's a vegan wine and wine company or something like that. And he runs it out of a bloody old caravan because he wanted to do something. He's not vegan himself. He just saw a gap in the market.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Geez, champ, this sounds like something a Carlton player would have done back in the day just to get the old paper bags.
I thought most wanted to be vegan, to be honest.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember what I read about it, but yeah.
Or is it just like one of those ones where they have like, you know, something and it's gluten-free? Something that will never, ever have had gluten. Like steak, like, gluten-free.
Gluten-free apples.
Yeah. And I've seen that sort of shit marked up. Gluten-free apple juice. Like, yeah, all of it is. But as soon as you put that in there, people go, oh, I can buy this now.
Yeah, it's a vegan winemaking something like that. Vegan winemaking. It is vegan winemaking. Yep, I'm looking it up now. He runs out of a food truck. I don't understand it. But anyway, I think it's, I don't know if it's making him a lot of money, but it might be just one of those things that keeping him busy, you know, gives him something to do besides footy. And he's from the Barossa originally, so, you know, food and wine sort of goes hand in hand with him down there.
Well, if he's vegan, he can't do cheese.
He's not vegan, no.
Well, I mean, if he's selling vegan.
I guess he can do a vegan cheese. There must be, that must exist. I mean, there's vegan.
Can you do a soy cheese or something? Well, I guess that's tofu, really.
I guess. I don't know. It must be a thing. And it must be horrible, whatever it is.
Well, yeah, you won't be able to have blue cheese or anything.
But anyway, that's what... oh, the good thing about vegan cheese, you couldn't have that one with the maggots in it. You know the one with the maggots and crawling through the cheese? Yeah. That's obviously not going to happen.
Yeah, to be honest, it wasn't going to happen for me anyway.
No, of course not. All right, so anyway, that's Port Adelaide have had three big wins at home in, you know, Thursdays and Friday night footies over the last month. So they've really come alive and challenging for a top four now. On to the Saturday game, and Hawthorn versus the Gold Coast Suns. Did you watch any of this one?
I watched the first little bit, and it looked like Gold Coast actually had come to play.
The first quarter, Gold Coast, geez, they look clean. Moving the ball so fast, so direct, picking apart the Hawthorn zone. And it was almost, looked like almost a training run. And at that stage, it was, where was this Gold Coast all year? And how much are they going to win by today? Then the rest of the game happened.
Yeah, I thought 2 metre Peter was getting in there for a decent outing. Faded, like
the rest of his side.
Yeah, and even Tommy Lynch didn't do his price any good, really. He contributed.
No, in the first quarter, he was dominating.
Yeah, in the
dominating.
First quarter, brilliant.
He kicked two goals and looked like he could not be stopped.
But if you're only going to play 25% of the game, you're only going to get 25% of the fee.
You know, it's funny, too, because it was a horrible game to watch.
Not fun.
The goal kicking doesn't help. I mean, collectively, what have we got there? 18 goals, 31. And that's only because Hawthorn came home strong in kicking five last quarter goals. It was a disgusting game, to be honest. And the skills, like I said, the field kicking, especially in the first quarter, was sublime. There was pressure on the ball around the ground, but that goal kicking just makes it felt such a low. I was listening to even the commentators on the radio because I was driving for a third quarter, I think. They were bored shitless.
Yeah. I just had a quick look through. 26 different players scored. Only 13 of them scored goals.
Yeah. I don't think there was many. Was there one multiple goal scorer on both sides or something like that? There might have been a couple.
No, a few. Like Gunston got three, Bruce got two.
Yeah, two for each side.
Yeah, Wright got two, Lynch got two.
Bruce kicked two goals, three. He should have kicked. They were difficult goals that he missed. And they're saying, you know, once the ball gets above the stands, the breeze can take it. These were shanks off the boot. I mean, they were not hard shots that they missed. The fact that 2 metre Peter's first goal was from 50 out on a good angle, and he just punched it low and went straight through. It was just horrible, horrible to watch.
I think we need to bring gloves back. Like, let the Travis Cloak glove back in. Maybe Trav Cloak gets back in the team. I don't know.
Could be.
He's probably still on someone's list. I think he signed a 45-year contract.
It's just such a frustrating game to watch. The last 2 weeks, Hawthorn have let a total of 9 goals through and scored, 80, 90 points, so 170-odd points each. Two of the most unwatchable games I can remember. Two 50-point margins, both of them. And if I never have to watch those games again, I'll be happy. That's just so weird. Like, any other side, you say they've had 9 goals kicked against them in 2 weeks. They've won by the best part of 10 goals back-to-back weeks. You'd be saying, you know, things are turning around. They're not. Mm-hmm. They weren't playing well. It's just been terrible, terrible games.
So a good game, though, was Jared Lyons. Like, he had 30 touches, but 22 contested possessions. I mean, he's the guy he's playing.
Yeah, I mean, he got the ball, but he didn't do much with it afterwards.
No, what are his options?
Yeah. You know? Liam Shields was great. I think he added a couple of goals to his tally as well as, you know, picking up plenty of the ball. I mean, the other highlight was obviously Taylor Giray, who's got a contender for goal of the week for sure, and I don't know, probably top five for goals mark of the week rather than goal. Sorry, probably top five for mark of the year too. Came out of nowhere.
We've had a good a few Mark of the Year contenders. I mean, Curno had two, the Jezelenko style and the screamer over the back.
This is the best week for Marks in a long time. Mm. I think the top five Marks from this week were all better than Danaher's Mark of the Year last year.
Yep, I'd give that. Solely for the no salty mows.
Anyway, like I said, one of the worst games I've had the displeasure to watch. On to Brisbane Lions and Giants. Nothing came out of this game worth talking about, was it? No talking points?
Brisbane looked all right, didn't they? In patches.
I tell you what, since we're talking about marks, Hodgie's mark was an absolute screamer.
He got off the ground.
He got off the ground pretty well. Yeah. I haven't seen him do that since his second year in the league. I'll just check it. I think he added a goal or two as well. Did he? Yeah, he did. He kicked a goal. So 30 touches, 23 kicks, if you don't mind. He's given up on this handball game. There's no point for the old fella.
Well, he's playing proper back then.
I like, after a game like that and taking that big mark, they automatically start talking, well, maybe he can go around again.
Well, he's not going to call time until someone's ready to take his place, and no one is.
And there's, without a doubt, they are better organised with him down back.
Oh, shit, yeah. Even if he doesn't touch the damn ball. But particularly when it looks like Harris Andrews is going to be spending some time out.
Yeah, well, I mean, we will get to that in 2 seconds. But I was listening to somebody else. I was reading a Bob Murphy article, and they're talking about the structures that they all have to be versed on and how difficult it is, because there's probably 10 or 15 different positions or set structures where in any situation in the game, you need to know where you need to be. And you could be in five or six different places in any one of those 15 different structures. So you need to know everybody. When you've got somebody like Hodge out there who knows them back to front and can change them on the fly, it makes such a difference. So that's really what they're getting out of there. And I knew that existed. We didn't know how complex it can be, especially for the young players. All right, on to Harris Andrews and Jeremy Cameron. So we're recording this on Monday night, so Jeremy's been referred to the tribunal, so we don't know what the result is. I feel like the conversation's changed a bit since the weekend. When it first happened, it looked like 3 to 4 weeks. Now it's looking 5 to 6.
As soon as they say bleed on the brain and all that kind of thing, it does change the conversation. Like, even though I don't really like them paying the consequence rather than the intention, but when you're lifting your arm and copping some guy who... And Harris Andrews was in all Australian form.
Yep.
You got to say that you got to stamp it out, and it needs a long suspension. So I'm thinking 6.
Yeah.
Now, actually, when do we play them?
Well, we play them next week. Part of me wants him to get off with nothing, just so people stop talking about Ryan Burton. I can't see it being less than 5. People are trying to compare it to the Barry Hall one, and I just think that's just so different because it wasn't in play. When I first watched it, I thought, oh, he's a bit unlucky because he's leaped for the ball and he's realised he's too late, and then he's stuck a forearm out. But the more I watched it, you go, actually, you've gone with that forearm very fucking early.
Yeah.
And the result from Harris Andrew, I mean, before he hit the ground, you know, the big spin and everything, I can't see it being less than 5. The most accurate comparison I can think of is Tom Jonas a couple of years ago, and he got 6.
I don't see it being less than that.
Yeah, I can't see it less than 5. But it is one of those things that I don't believe it's something that you write off his character as a shit human being for the rest of his life. It's not like he went out there and thought, I'm going to take him out.
No, he was hard at the ball. He was just...
His reaction was just totally wrong.
Not careless, but reckless, I'd say. And that's not the definitive tribunal version of reckless.
Just reckless as in the English language, not the tribunal...
Not the legal term, if you like. But you think of so many players have had moments like that where it's just a poor reflex or a split moment thought where you're like, fuck this guy, oh no, wait... That's a really bad idea. There's
even guys that have done it. You've heard them go, what did I do that for? I don't know why I did that.
The one that comes to my mind is Solly on Ling.
On Ling, yeah, which you know a lot of people still think is one of the worst things they've ever seen.
Yeah, but you know, straight away he comes out and apologises in front of the media kind of thing. And let's be honest, Ling wasn't made any...
Prettier
or uglier by it.
Yeah.
And he is commentating, so obviously his voice wasn't affected, unfortunately.
And we talked to him about it, and he just said, oh, I don't know. just happened.
It does, because their first thought is always, hey, as long as it's not me. And we all do it. Like, you get, as soon as you're looking at tripping, if you've got, unless you have a small child in your arms or something, the first thing you do is you put your hands up.
Yeah.
So if he sees a body coming at him, I can absolutely understand putting a forearm up. It just happened. This was the elbow. But none of that mitigates it.
No.
You've still got to actively and massively discourage it.
The other thing, besides, okay, the health issues, like, because there's bleeding on the brain and that kind of stuff. And even Brisbane has spoken about Maguire, and there was the lad Clark up there, not Mitch, the other lad.
Yep.
And Jonathan Brown, you know, there are concussion and head injury issues that can plague you for the rest of your life. So there's the health issue side of it. Beyond that, even today, radio stations are calling up Brent Staker to ask his opinion on it. It changes the career. Like, even if your health issues are fine, like, Brent, whenever there's a big hit, nobody brings up Brent Staker and asks about the 2 grand final or the 1 grand final he played in and, you know, the other 150 odd games he played. What about that time you got knocked out? I mean, that's his career now.
You fuck one goat.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't even get to fuck the goat. The goat fucked him.
Yeah. And the funniest part for me is that Barry Hall's still playing and he's still knocking motherfuckers out.
Yeah, around the place, yeah. So there's a good chance that Harris Andrews comes back and they still talk. Remember that time, you know, Jeremy Cameron got you?
Well, it'll spook him. It absolutely will. It'll change the way he plays because it's got to.
You even hope it does change the way he plays because you don't want to see him get hit again.
Yeah, that was...
But what I won't entertain is talk about red cards and all that kind of stuff, because I don't think you make a rule change that big based on a once every year kind of issue.
Especially not mid-season or anything, but I can see the call for it, because if it is something like a Brent Staker... Barry Hall thing,
yeah,
where it's completely blatant and intended. The fact that West Coast were down a man for the rest of the match, whereas Sydney weren't disadvantaged at all, except for the free kick, you could make the argument that, all right, in that instance, they should have dragged him, because there's no doubt about his guilt.
Yeah.
Whereas for this, you can make some arguments.
Yeah, not very strong arguments, but I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just don't want to send off rule, because we're going to see it... applied wrongly, and then we go, wow, you know, what happens now? Sometimes you just got to go, you know what, this happens once a year at best. I mean, it happened once last year, maybe. It's not prevalent enough to say, let's change how the game's always been played. I can understand it for country footy and that kind of stuff, because, you know, there's difference. But
well, the umpires have got to survive in country footy.
Exactly. And also, you know, they'll say, oh, what happens if it happens in a final? You know what? We'll find out when it happens in a final.
Well, in a final, what should be happening then is every other teammate comes in and gives that bloke a touch-up.
And make sure.
Fuck it, mate. I'm going to suspend it too. I don't give a shit.
And like I said, like Jeremy Cameron's career is not going to be the same after this regardless. Doesn't matter if he gets 3 games or 13 games. His career has changed.
Well, and look, I think I've already done this once, but I'm putting a line through GWS without him.
It's going to be very close now.
Patton kicked 3, but He's having a spark of form. I don't think his goal kicking is going to be this good.
Well, he's having to pinch hit in the ruck as well, because lobs out, and I think Dawson Simpson might be either form or injury as well. I'm not 100% on that. So it definitely puts a big question mark over GWS, who are just starting to turn things around.
Well, who's your second option up forward now? They've got tons of great midfielders.
It'll be someone you haven't heard of before. That's what will happen. You know?
Yeah, no, true. But they've got quality players. Don't even worry about that. But when Patton becomes the sole focal point, your best defender goes on him and isn't afraid of being Patton running off him, because Patton's slow as fuck.
I know we've said this 1,000 times before, but it's such a shame too, because this would have been great for Lachie Tiziani, you know, to come in and debut, and you know he's got some nice high marks. But anyway, he's done his knee, so he's not playing. All right. And again, it's a shame because there's nothing else people are talking about in this game. But you know, that's obviously going to be the thing that dominates all week. Tomorrow night when he goes to the tribunal, it'll be must-see online updates. Well, it's not TV, but yeah. I'll be following along.
I reckon they should televise it. I know they've floated it before, but they televise every other fucking thing.
It'll be paint dry. Like, I'm fine with watching the updates on afl.com.au, just because every 10 minutes there's one line. So you can imagine what it'll be like there to hear, that's the one interesting line.
Anyway. Yeah, get Judge Judy in there.
Having said that, same as you though, I'd go and watch once, but then I go, okay, I understand.
I'd heckle.
Yeah. All right, on to Saturday night, the Bulldogs and the Kangaroos. Great. It was a good, ugly footy, if I can say that. The pressure was on from the get-go.
Well, we're playing teams into form. We did the same with Geelong. They looked all at sea, and all of a sudden they play us, and they're loving life. The Bulldogs, it wasn't pretty in the first half, but the Bulldogs brought the pressure.
Yeah, didn't they? Caleb Daniel and the other midget, what's his name? God, I've gone absolutely blank. Dalhouse, playing game number 150. And mind you, if somebody asked me how many games Dalhouse has played, I would have said half that amount. But it sneaks up on you. Both of them, especially Caleb Daniel, it's such a good base on him, on you being a short little stocky fella. But those two weaving in and out and pinpoint passing.
Even on the outside of the boot, bloody Caleb Daniel.
Oh, that was some weird ones, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Like that. But interesting game because, like I said, the pressure was on, and even though some of the skills weren't quite there, I thought this was, yeah, a good, ugly game.
See, I didn't enjoy it much at the ground.
You were shaking your head a lot.
I enjoyed it a lot more watching the replay, and part of that was because...
You knew the result.
Well, yeah, that too. But also, where we were seeing a lot of negativity because we're on the skinny side. And things like Magic Door not becoming a marking option when it should have been him.
Who was it? Oh, it was Shaqy once, just bodied him out, which looked far too easy.
But the thing is, every time I thought, oh, that player's had a fuck night, when I was watching it again on the TV and you can actually see the whole ground, like Attlee, I thought, geez, he's been a bit shit. But then I looked at, he was involved in about 5 goals and kicked a nice one himself.
Yeah.
So I thought, all right, I was wrong there. And then same with Magic Door, I thought, he had a pretty shit first half, and he had a couple of spud moments.
I tell you what, you don't win without Magic Door.
No.
It took 3 intercept marks in the last quarter, and 2 of them were pack marks.
But they were beautiful, like, authoritative grabs. Like, you see, the way Ben Brown marks is arms up and he waits for the ball to land in them, whereas Magic Door traps the ball in between his big fucking mitts.
He's changed so much since he's moved back. It's been a great coaching move, and he's taken to it because he's like, see ball, get ball. Whereas before, when he's trying to play ruck and forward, it's like, where am I meant to be now?
Well, I think too, being a defender, he can just run with his man.
Yep.
And
and sometimes it's, guys, I want you to stand in front of their full forward. Or, you know, there are times where he's playing that the bloke a kick and a half behind, and it's suiting him.
Yeah, and he gets in trouble when there's space in front of him, because he never knows whether he wants to stand in front of his player or behind him.
And, yeah.
You know, he doesn't read the kicker very well. But if there's no gap in front of him and he knows it's going to be popped up, he's pretty confident of going for a mark. He didn't stick many in the first half, but in the last quarter, he had 3 last 10 goal
minutes,
saves.
Yep, in the last 10 minutes he did, and that's what you want. And let's be honest, this was Bulldogs' game to lose. In that last play with Mitch Wallace going forward, kicking it out of bounds on the full, when he had a little dinky 15-metre pass to a bloke by himself that he could have done, and the bloke could have said, oh, I'm 51 out, I'm having a shot, thanks. We'll chew up this 30 seconds.
Well, there's, a minute 10 left? So he could have just even kicked backwards.
And then gone back, yeah. All they had to do was have stopped the play.
He could have stuck his thumb up his ass and just waited for the umpire to call play on.
But anyway, Mitch Wallace kicks it out of bounds on the full, and then from that point on, it reminded me of Sydney v Richmond a few years ago when Lloyd kicked the winning goal after the siren. It was the kicks went where they needed to go, the bounces fell their way, they made right choices. Benny Brown's decision to kick that little grubber off the ground was brilliant. And it was as brilliant as Jackson Trengrove leaving Benny Brown was dumb.
Well, the key there, well, there was about 5 keys points. But,
yeah, all the way.
Mason Wood didn't really have a great night, but he gets that one tap down to...
I think it was Attlee, but I'm not sure. McDonald.
No, it was McDonald, yeah. And McDonald gets it away to, I think it was Higgins, and then Higgins to Goldie, and Goldie does a weird kick back to Higgins again. On Higgins, though, he's got to be a dark horse for the Brownlow. He's had a brilliant season.
He probably is, yeah. I think, you know, especially the way people are falling away and getting suspended. I'd say he'd be in the teens for votes, without a doubt.
I'd love to see Cunnington get it, but he's not the player that does.
And probably, you know what, low 20s is probably enough this year, you know. I know it's been 30s the last couple of years, but there's been a lot of Brownlows given out for 2021 votes.
But and then obviously Higgins kicks it just in front of Benny Brown nicely, and Brown with the soccer, and
Zeeble took every second he had.
He did. He picked it up, looked at the player running at him, and went, fuck it, I got this. But I think that's because right about then, Attlee was about 25 metres out, dead in front, waiting for the ball kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he had to make that choice of, do I go myself and risk being spoiled and be the hero, or do I...
It's almost one of those ones where you're better off if you don't know you've got a choice.
Yeah.
But he looked at it and summed it up and said, you know, I'm on the edge of the goal square. I think I can make it from here.
It was entertaining to watch knowing the result, but as an All fan, it was very much heart in throat, shake heads, what the fuck were they thinking moments.
12 goals, 5 is a good return, but like we said, Bulldogs should have won it. It felt like all night. It felt like Bulldogs game all night.
And for the Bulldogs, Gowers, he looked something special.
Wasn't he great? Yeah. First year or second year player?
He's only a young lad.
The endeavour that they showed, especially considering, you know, the outs that they had.
Yeah.
McRae and Easton Wood.
On injury list alone, North should have walked over this.
Yeah. That's right. Billy Hartung went out. He came in early for...
Wait.
Don't know why they even bothered naming Wait, but... it was good to see Wadey up in the crowd really enjoy the win as well.
Yeah, he pulled his calf again.
Pulled his calf doing that, without a doubt. But it's a shame for Billy Hartung because, you get a late call up and then to do your hammy. I think he got, did he get dragged at half time in the VFL?
Yeah, he did. He only played half a match.
Because the Wait pulled out.
Yeah, I think they were going to give Wait right up to the last minute, but I think they know it's Wait. So they're like, hey, Billy, you might want to have a seat, lad.
Anyway. But end of the day, the North played badly and come away with the 4 points, so that's all you can ask for.
Well, last year the Bulldogs did this to us twice. They got less than a goal win and won with a nice little steal. So, look, they probably deserve this, but I'll take turnabout being fair play.
Winning badly is still winning. All right, on to Sunday, Collingwood versus Carlton. It's got to say, Carlton copped everything in the media last week, and rightly so, because their effort against Fremantle was disastrous. The Endeavour was there this week. That was really a hot football to get. The skills weren't, and they were beaten by the better side, but Endeavour from them was brilliant. Especially, you know, they were two men down. They lost Cruiser, and they lost Lachie Plowman. And I'm a big fan of Lachie Plowman.
So there were some things that... We've talked about Liam Jones being rehabilitated. He had some fucking spud moments this game.
I think you got to see the best and the worst of him. Because he had some good moments too. The spud ones stand out more though. Because you're like, yeah, that's right. That's right.
He kicks directly to an opposition player 40 out dead in front. Fucking spud.
Yeah.
Which, that's the problem being a backman. You can have 5 good moments. One bad one costs a goal.
Yep. It's like, you know, I think somebody even mentioned it during the commentary. You know, you have a big one-on-one and your backman wins, you go, oh, good, you stopped the goal. And, you know, play goes on. The forward wins, kicks a goal, everyone cheers, everyone goes back to the middle, you go, aren't you a dickhead? You got beaten.
Well, yep.
It's all the...
The backman's lament.
All the criticism and none of the glory.
But we touched on it earlier, Charlie Curnow. Geez, he is having a breakout season.
He threatened this in rounds 1 and 2, and then went a bit soft, a bit quiet for a few months, a bit like Carlton as well, to be honest. Yeah. But he came out in this one. It looked like something clicked, and he went, if the ball's within 12 feet, I'm leaping for it.
Doesn't he have a nice leap too?
There was one mark that he took. Jeremy Howe was behind him, and Jeremy Howe couldn't get high enough. That's a fair fucking effort. He couldn't get high enough to spoil it. But, I mean, the class came through for Collingwood. And I tell you what, Mason Cox is becoming a bit of a weapon as well.
He's a monstrous unit, isn't he?
Well, a lot like Benny Brown. Once he stretches those arms, nobody's reaching him.
And he is a beautiful, pure kick of the ball.
It's a very thoughtful technique. It's not, you know, somebody like Buddy, you go, well, that's how you kick, just do it, mate, it works. With him, you can see the wheels in motion almost.
Yeah, and it is mechanical. Whereas a lot of footy players, they'll lean one way or lean the other when they're trying to get more hook or more.
And it's obviously not natural for him because he hasn't grown up kicking.
Yeah, but he's one of those guys where if you need to kick straight, he's fine. Kicking around corners and whatnot, bit of a struggle, but a tall ruckman that can kick straight.
Well, he doesn't ruck that much either, which is the other luxury because Brody Grundy is absolutely killing it,
isn't he? Though
that he can spend 80% of his time up forward.
It's still fucking amazes me that he's only 23.
Or 24, I think, or something like that. Yeah, yeah. We said this a few times. Yeah, still, it's, you know, they say Ruckman reached their peak about 28, 29.
Yeah.
He's got some ways to go.
So we've got five more years of he and Gawn fighting it out.
That's great.
Footy's a winner.
Footy's the winner. And Treloar goes from the lows to the highs to the lows again. When he pulled his hamstring, everyone goes, oh, that's going to really trouble him. And then after that, they said, nah, it's just a cramp. I just cramped up. And then we hear today, nah, it might be off the bone. He's really fucked. And it could be season ending. That's a big blow for Collingwood.
I'm not going to lie. The fact Collingwood are going to potentially struggle doesn't really shade my heart too much.
I do like it, but
I do like seeing Treloar play though. He is one of those quality players.
To be honest, like I've said it before, Collingwood have been a very watchable team this year, and yeah, I love absolutely. That. And a lot of it is him and Dugowie and Sidebottom. You know, that's one of the strongest midfields, and wouldn't have thought that before the year.
Daniel Wells' curse.
Yeah, well, he's finished too. But
the effort, a year.
The effort was there for Carlton. That's all they can ask for at this stage. But
well, Carlton weren't out of the match in the first half, which could easily have happened. They could have been just blown away. And actually, I think they either equaled or led even in the third quarter.
Yeah, they got up there, but it was always going to be a mountain too high.
Well, you know, if the lights go out and the place riots and they call the game off, they could have drawn. So that's a win for them.
Yeah. All right, we'll have a quick look at round 15 then, before we've got our other ones. Back to the nine games around. I'm excited for that. Thursday night, absolute travesty this isn't at the MCG. First versus second, Richmond v. the Swans. I think at the MCG this is an easy pick, but I'm going to tip the Swans at Etihad Stadium for an upset.
I'm on Richmond. I do agree. At MCG, this would have been a better game, not just the least of which, because they would have got 70-odd thousand.
Easy.
Because, you know, Richmond supporters aren't going to work.
Hey, and Sydney have got a great South Melbourne following here too.
So I'm assuming there's some reason they can't play a Thursday night game at the G?
It's contractual that every MCG side has to play one home game at Etihad. I don't know why. Maybe it's a trade-off because of finals or something like that, but that's why we played West Coast there. And
I don't understand why the MCC is putting obstacles in front of the AFL when the AFL is the reason the MCC have a ground.
Well, this is Etihad, not... Yeah,
yeah, no, I mean, the MCC, if their rule is that you can't play on Thursday nights or whatever...
No, that's definitely not the rule.
Okay.
I'm saying it's contracts that with Etihad. That
right.
Richmond have to play one home game there a year. All MCG tenanted clubs have to play one home game at Etihad Stadium.
Did this happen just after the AFL bought Etihad Stadium?
No, it's always been there. I don't understand it, but there must be a reason for it, and money must have changed hands, but
AFL
I don't like it.
Gets more gate.
Sydney, for me, in an upset.
I'm on Richmond, obviously. It's going to be fun. Always rants on Buddy. That's going to be fun to watch.
Great to watch. Who can dive further?
It'll be like 10 pin bowling. And they both dive sideways.
I tell you what, if you're a small Richmond, a small North, third try.
Sydney?
Small Sydney forward, stand behind the two because it just might come to you and hit you on the chest.
Ronk. Is he still running? He's good, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's
still
running. Bit of a tweak. But he'll have a great game if he can stay about. Midfield battle, still going to be fun to watch.
Isn't it?
You know, Rucks will do their thing, but no one's really going to pay much attention to them. How frustrated does old mate Jack Riebold get? We'll have to see. Plenty of excitement here.
Okay. Bulldogs and the Cats, Etihad Stadium on Friday night. I mean, the Bulldogs shown something, but the Cats are going to be too big, I think.
Well, it's a 6-day turnaround for the Bulldogs, and the Cats coming off a break.
Off a bye.
Yeah. It's hard to hit the Dogs.
It is. Carlton are hosting Port Adelaide in the MCG. Port will be glad to get out of the MCG. And I tell you what, there's nobody better than to play there at the minute than Carlton.
Well, no Cruiser and Paddy Ryder's in form.
Yeah, no Cruiser. Lockie Plowman's gone. They are really struggling. They're going to have, I think, some more debutants or something. But, you know, some of the blokes they dropped for disciplinary reasons, and by discipline I mean on-field discipline, are going to have to come back.
Well, I think if I had free tickets to this and I was looking at a way to enjoy the match, Ed Curnow on Robbie Gray is about the only way I can do it.
If I had free tickets to this, they'd be bookmarks. Adelaide and the Eagles at Adelaide Oval. Well, Adelaide will be glad that they're playing footy again because the bye week has just meant more media coverage on their bloody off-season shit.
See, I don't mind this. If Kennedy's out, it does make it
and
interesting.
Darling. I'll
Kennedy
tell you
and
what.
Darling both out.
Adelaide, every chance in the world.
The McGovern Cup, who wins it?
Yeah, I'm still on the Eagles because I think that they were embarrassed last week and they're going to have to come out and play hard.
Yeah, Adelaide were embarrassed too. So.
Well, they were embarrassed 2 weeks in a row. One was playing footy and the other one wasn't.
Yeah, I really want to go for Adelaide here because I feel like they have had a shithouse season with injuries and
form
and joining a cult or whatever. So I'm on Adelaide in a bit of an upset.
Fair to say that the PR department in Adelaide has not worked well because all things about this off-season stuff, to then call a press conference and say, we're not going to talk about that. Well, don't call the fucking press conference then.
Yeah. Who the fuck is their media advisor?
Not very well.
Literally, I could do a better job.
Suns are hosting Collingwood at Metricon. Suns also lost Sam Day, I think, during the Hawthorn game. So they're really struggling. You think Collingwood would be enough to get over the line on that one?
Well, I think it's going to be a bit cheeky that Collingwood are turning up with the recruiting staff.
Yeah, well, whatever works. The Giants are hosting Hawthorn on Saturday night. Fair to say, I don't think Jeremy Cameron's playing.
I do like this game, though, because Hawthorn have been a little bit off the boil lately, and GWS too. But the matchups are great. Will they put Sicily on Patton? Because I don't think...
No, because I think Patton's going to be on Big Boy. I think he's going to be rucking.
I guess he kind of has to, doesn't he?
Burgoyne out, which is just about... It hasn't been confirmed, but it's just about guaranteed that he'll be sitting out this one. It'd be interesting if Jack Gunston plays, because he pulled a bit of a calf in the last game. And they've been trying to play him across half back, and they couldn't. He had to go forward because he just didn't have the mobility.
Will we see a bit of shield on shield action, or is there not enough strapping?
It's not a bad matchup. I mean, Liam is obviously slower than Dylan, but around contested ball. Look, if they leave Tom Mitchell alone, I mean, they've got a great midfield, but their midfield is all their forward runners. If Jeremy Cameron was playing, I think this is an easy tip for GWS because they were really getting up and running. I don't know how they're going to handle the week ahead.
I think it's one thing I have found with GWS is that they need their A side in to be deadly because they don't have a lot of utility players. They've got single role players who then pinch hit left, right, and centre. But their A side will take on any team.
Yeah. Well, especially when you got, Kelly, Taranto, he's improved a lot.
He has.
Canelio, Shields running through. Griffin's playing some good footy. There's a lot of options through the middle of the ground. Burgoyne out, though, just makes me worried. That's an inexperienced back line without Burgoyne.
That's the one that makes me tip GWS. If Burgoyne's in, I'd be comfortable tipping Hawks. But no, I'm not.
And like I said, Hawks have won 11 goals the last 2 weeks. It still hasn't convinced me at all. Sunday, we got Melbourne hosting St Kilda at the MCG. Melbourne are looking for somebody to bully.
They found it.
I think so.
I think they've had some poor form, but St Kilda have had worse.
Essendon and North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium. Great game.
Well, if either team wants to play finals, they need to win.
Yeah, yeah. This is a final for both teams. And these teams have played some good finals in the past too.
But it's one of the ones where if you win, doesn't mean you're playing finals. But if you lose, you're definitely not.
Yeah, yeah. Especially for Essendon. I think that's true. And Frio are hosting Brisbane over there. Well, Brisbane now without Harris Andrews, who was going close to their best and fairest, the way he was playing. It's going to be hard to tip the Lions for the rest of the year now. So we'll pick Frio on that one. Now, just quickly, since we only had 6 games to talk about this week, we thought we'd do a bit of a ladder predictor for the rest of the year. So it's a great one from Squiggle, wasn't it? Or you put it up or something?
Yeah, because for some reason the official AFL site hasn't bothered.
Well, they are a little bit lax with those kind of things. But as always, the community comes forward and provides what the community wants and does it for free. So you've gone through it and I've gone through it. And where does your top 8 sit with your ladder predictor?
Well, I've got Richmond sitting number 1 with 8 wins, or equal number 1, I should say.
Yep.
Second, I've got Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide, that's an interesting one. So you've essentially...
I've doubled down.
You've got them going through the rest of the year undefeated.
Yeah, I think I do. I didn't actually think of it at the time, but each time I had them matching up, I had them winning.
Right.
So, I don't know, make of that what you will.
Yep. All right, keep going.
I've got West Coast coming in 3 with 17 wins. And then fourth, Sydney with 17 wins as well. But there'll be percentile differences there. I think West Coast are going to give her a couple more hidings. Maybe I'm wrong. Depends if Kennedy and...
How quickly they get back. Yeah.
Then I've got Melbourne with 16 wins. And then I've got North with 15 wins. Hawthorn with 15 wins. Geelong with 14. And Collingwood with 13.
See, those two, Hawthorn and Geelong, I'm very surprised on. But I don't think Geelong are all that convincing. But when they get when everything's moving in the one direction, they are. But so you've got Hawthorn sneaking in as seventh above Geelong. Jeez, I'd love that. And Collingwood in ninth.
Well, yeah, that was not intentional. But that's the way it all shook
well,
out.
Well, now with Treloar out for what looks like the rest of the season, I think that becomes a possibility. I haven't tipped it.
Well, I did this before I knew Treloar was out, yeah. So I'm psychic, obviously.
Well, you see, the problem is I did my ladder predictor, and I didn't know Treloar was out, so I got Collingwood a little bit higher.
Well, Hawthorn and North have got very, very easy runs home, so I think Collingwood's is a bit harder, not by a hell of a lot, and Geelong's is a lot harder.
So I did my predictor as well, and I've got Richmond keeping the minor premiership again, even you know wearing another loss or two. Like I said, I just tipped Sydney to beat them. So, but I've got Sydney sitting second. I think their run is not that bad. It's not that great either coming in, but actually, they're just hitting their straps.
When was Richmond's last minor premiership?
Oh, 80s. If they're lucky. West Coast are going to turn it around, so I've got them sitting in third with 17 wins. So 17 wins, that can get you a minor premiership most years. So this year I'm tipping for third.
So we've got the same top three.
We've got the same top three. Oh, no, we don't. You got Port Adelaide for some fucking reason. I put Collingwood in the top four. And like I said, that was before I knew about Treloar. They've got a tough run home, but I've got them up there. Geelong, 15 wins and fifth, which it is hard to tip this year. Because the bottom sides are so bad. Melbourne, I see them turning around because they'll do a number on the teams below them. They're struggling against the other teams in the top eight at the minute.
I've got a feeling they don't play many top eight teams from here on out either.
I think they're six of one, half dozen the other, yeah. a little bit. Port Adelaide, I've got them in seventh, but 14 wins. They've done enough at home to get over the line, and I think their away games aren't too bad, but... You feel like there is a crack there, and if they hit an unlucky patch with injuries or form, I feel like they could drop a few that they shouldn't. And I've got North Melbourne keeping steady in eighth, which is where they are now, aren't they? Eighth or seventh.
Again, Hawthorn and North equal eighth on percentage.
Well, I've got Hawthorn, North and Essendon. And I've got Hawthorn, North, Essendon and Adelaide all on 12 wins. So we know that 13 guarantees you finals. I've got four clubs on 12, and it'll come down to percentage. And at the moment, North Melbourne's percentage is the best out of the four of them. But for that, I mean, I think the only one out of that lot that we actually play is Essendon. So I've got Hawthorn finishing ninth, and that's losing a couple that you'd expect them to win.
Well, yeah, North and Hawthorn both play Essendon, and I think both play Adelaide too, maybe?
No, we've already played Adelaide. Okay. We're done. We've got games against Carlton, Brisbane, Sydney... and Bulldogs, Frio, and GWS to come. So there's six of the bottom seven, plus Essendon.
I think North's got the same run, but instead of GWS, they've got Sydney. So they've got Carlton, Brisbane, St Kilda, Gold Coast, Bulldogs, Sydney, Essendon.
Yeah, we've just played Gold Coast, so we don't have to play them again. But we've got Sydney and Geelong to go. So anyway, I've got Hawthorn sitting ninth, our biggest difference is you got Port Adelaide in second, and I've got them in seventh. I think you're just trying to get your preseason ladder predictor to work.
I was 51-1, so I'm on it. But we both got pretty much the same bottom level. We both got.
Oh, they're not changing. The bottom four's not changing. The bottom five's not changing. Yeah.
Well, St Kilda and Brisbane could swap, perhaps. Depending on if one gets up, but looking at Brisbane's
not now
outs, it's hard to make the case.
Neither of us. I know you got Carlton winning one game. I can see them winning one. Just I haven't. I've got Carlton losing.
I always tip last against second last because they never know where the next win's coming from.
And also, if it comes down to who wants the number one pick,
Yeah. Although, what's Carlton going to fucking do with it they haven't done already?
Yeah, exactly.
Mind you, Brisbane's not in a much better spot.
Brisbane are the last couple. I think not getting the number one pick will mean more to Brisbane than it means to Carlton. Like they do not want a spoon again, because that'll be three in a row.
But I think Carlton getting the number one pick, they know that they can keep the person for a little while. Whereas Brisbane are like, all right, we've got him for 2 years. Can we sign him?
Yeah, what can we do?
Even got him in the building? No? Okay.
Yeah. All right, that'll do us for this round.
All right, peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.